Blog Talk Radio.
The Law Offices of Pasco, Tashman & Walker presents National Detroit Weekly with blogger Harold Sullivan. My name is Michael Van Sewell. We're going to be featuring national and international news and politics and commentary. National Detroit is your connection to national and world affairs live from the Motor City. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Harold Sullivan, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Michael.
Great.
Doing well.
And we're excited about you being here. Thank you so much. And I know some of you are tuning in and listening. Harold, I've gotten some Twitter responses back. We are out on Twitter, and people have been taking notice of us and responding. And thank you so much to our Twitter fans out there.
Thank you.
And thank you to our Facebook fans who also have been listening to the program. We're so glad that you are here. There are a few things on the agenda today. Of course, I'm going to be talking a little bit about the debate, the vice presidential debate that just occurred, and we'll be talking about that. And we have some other topics on tap, too. But I just want to thank our supporters of the program today. Of course, the law offices of Pascal, Cashman & Walker, Attorney Cliff Pascal, call for a free no-obligation consultation. Some of the services provided by Pascal, Cashman & Walker include auto and truck accidents, workers' compensation, Social Security, disability, veteran benefit, child custody, child support, employment law, probate and estate planning, criminal and DUI, and bankruptcy. Here's the number for Attorney Cliff Pascal at Pascal, Tashman & Walker. Tell them you heard it on National Detroit Weekly, 248-353-7750, 248-353-7750. Also, Discovery Tours and Cruises, specializing in group travel, cruises to the Caribbean, day trips, international trips, cruises around the world. They are also participants of the Women Who Wine series. You can also book your trip to Cuba now, Costa Rica, Dubai. I saw some pictures the other day of a classmate of mine that went to Dubai. Jamaica. I had a great time in Jamaica a few years ago. Punta Cana, Europe. I'd like to get to Europe soon. Connecting the worlds through travel. Discovery Tours and Cruises, the number is 248-678-4267. Get your trip planned for this winter or the new year, 248-678-4267, Discovery Tours and Cruises. And also, American Standard Roofing. It's a great day today. It's a great week. This is a good time to get the roof fixed before the winter and ice kick in. At American Standard Roofing, they have great certified crews that go out to your home. They provide you with free estimates. Financing is available. It's not just roofing. If you've got gutters and skylights and siding that you want to take care of, tell them that you heard it on National Detroit Weekly with Harold Sullivan and Michael Van Sewell. They have the finest, most durable materials. It's Michigan's number one roofer. Call Arnie and tell him that you heard it right here on National Detroit Weekly. The number is 248-350-2323. The number again is 248-350-2323. And finally, Colony Realty and Columbus Construction. One number does it all. If your home needs repair, if you need flooring, security doors, painting, electrical, plumbing, kitchen cabinets, over 25 years of service, call and ask for Reginald. Ask for Reginald. Tell him you heard it on National Detroit Weekly. He'll give you a free estimate, 313-247-7231. Again, 313-247-7231. Look, our sponsors want to hear from you. And let me tell you, you can trust them. They do a great job. and they do it for our customers and our listeners right here on National Detroit Weekly. Harold Sullivan, you know, I tell you, this has got to be the most exciting election year in history. We thought it was in 2008 with Barack Obama running for president. That was great. That was great. There was a lot of action. But this year, there's like,
considering the combatants, if you want to call them that.
Yeah, I would call them that, combatants.
The combatants.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is shaping up to be one extraordinary campaign season, and it's winding down quickly. Last night, of course, you had the vice presidential debates between Governor Pence and also the Democratic nominee,
Tim Kaine.
Governor Kaine. And I only caught snippets of the interviews, Michael.
I caught the whole thing.
I work 22 jobs. And
over
the last 24 hours, I actually worked 11 of them.
Wow. Wow.
Probably the most demanding one is for my son, Prince Harold II, who works me like a Hebrew slave.
Isn't he a director?
He is.
Writer, director? What's going on?
He is now.
What are you guys working on?
He's a published author now. And
great.
Yes, he has a book out. And he just received the book. And
it is completed. The God.
It is.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, I know he's so excited about that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, it is a work that requires dad to go out and do a lot of free publicity work for the son. But
well, give him some free publicity work right now. Let's tell us about it.
Well, the book is called it's a short read. It's 72 pages, but it has three specific couple scenarios, and he has done an excellent job of, you know, creating a great, he has that theater background, so it's kind of a theatrical narrative on all three of the couples. He never ceases to amaze me at 20 years of age, his depth of understanding about real world, real life issues. So we're very happy about what he's doing with this book. And also he's gearing up for yet another theatrical presentation come May. He told me that he is the EP on this one, or the executive producer.
Mm-hmm.
And he is going to be working very hard to get that one out. But not his production. It is the production of a young lady that he's working with. And then on top of all that, he's got another play of his own coming out in, I believe it's going to be in November of 2017. So he's staying busy, keeping me busy, keeping mom busy, and I couldn't be more proud. Could not be more proud. You know how it is. You have a young son yourself.
Yeah.
And Cameron has grown to be such a wonderful young man.
Yep, taller than me now, 14 years old, taller than me.
Student at the world-renowned Cass Tech.
Thinks he knows everything.
Yes. Well, you know what the thing about it is? These young girls out here nowadays will fill up that head of the young men.
Yep.
And you gotta make them rooted and grounded.
Yep, because right now they consider themselves as superheroes.
Superheroes. So, you know, kudos to our young sons.
Yeah.
Also, kudos to all of the young people out there who are endeavoring to do the right thing and to create a path of the straight and narrow. I also would like to thank a lot of the students that I've been working with here as of late as a substitute teacher. I always make the distinction between the substitute and the teacher because of the fact that, you know, substitutes kind of come in. We're like the backup quarterback, so to speak. You know, we come in and we roll up our sleeves and we do the playbook that's been left for us by the coach and the number one quarterback. So over the last few weeks or so since school has started, and it's been six weeks going on now, I've had some great experiences with young people in the school systems. You know, I've been very blessed to work in Van Buren Township and Taylor, Wayne Westland, Westwood District, which is like the old Inkster District from days gone by. But, you know, in working in that capacity, you really have an opportunity to stay rooted and grounded with the young people. And I find that, you know, sometimes when you go into the schools and they substitute come in, it's like, oh, we have a substitute, you know. So I've got to thwart that immediately by, you know, letting them know, hey, look, don't pump this up. You know, we've got a lesson plan. We're going to go through with the plan your teacher left. And at the same time, we're going to, you know, chop away at these 180 days of learning that you are indebted to by the state of Michigan. So that's always a lot of fun, too, you know, in terms of, you know, the work thing. But, again, man, being out here, seeing how people are living, I'm privy to a lot of conversation now. You're going to the coffee shops and, you know, you hear people talking. You hear black people talking. You hear people of other foreign extractions talking. You hear white people talking. And everybody, people now are more candid, I think, than they've ever been about their political concerns. Are you finding the same thing?
I find that, yes, that it seems to be right under the surface of conversation, right past good morning, hello, how are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Right under the surface. And the next line is, did you see that debate last night?
Right.
What do you think about Donald Trump? Are you going to vote? You know, somehow the conversation gets steered towards the presidential election.
Exactly.
In some form or fashion. So it is really gripping this country. And I think on November 8th, this country will be paralyzed until the results come out.
Right. Yes. And we'll have the results on the 8th. But what is going to shake out after the results are delivered remains to be seen. I don't want to be in a position, Michael, where I call this thing personally in terms of saying one or the other is going to win, because truth of the matter is both of them still have an opportunity. I mean, there is someone on the leaderboard, but we're not absolutely certain that it's going to shake out that way. The Electoral College is probably going to play out probably more so than it ever has in recent elections in recent years. So we'll see how that works out going forward. Another thing, and we've been doing this on all of our programs, we do have to let people know that the time for registration is drawing nigh. And if you are not registered, if you're not a registered voter by this time, what you need to do is get busy and be about the business of making sure that you are become registered by October the 11th of 2016 this year. That'll be it. That's
six
it.
More days.
You can't do anything after that. If you're out there, you have some concerns, if you're not even sure if you're registered, if you haven't voted in a while and you want to check up on your registration status, I would suggest that you you go to the election commission in your respective area, check out what your status is. If you have to re-register or get yourself back in good stead again, do that. Do that immediately. We're not telling you here whom to vote for, but what we're telling you is it's important that you be a part of the process. Process will work out for those who are most diligent and dedicated to working towards a particular end. And whatever that end is, if more people are congregated and about the business of working towards the good of the end of either Mrs. Clinton or Mr. Trump, we'll see what shakes out on November the 8th.
Yes. I'm going to give my Baghdad Bob of the Week award early.
Let's do that. Yes.
This week. Of course, you know, Baghdad Bob is named in honor of the Saddam Hussein information minister, known for hysterically funny lies about Iraqi forces, the strength of Iraqi forces, the status, the invasion, back in 2003. And despite overwhelming odds, despite obvious the obvious invasion and pending approach of American forces, Baghdad Bob, the information minister for Saddam Hussein, continued to act as though nothing of the sort was occurring, that they weren't going to be attacked, that they weren't under fire, that Saddam Hussein was firmly in control. And that's why we named this award in honor of Baghdad Bob. And this week it goes to vice presidential candidate Mike Pence, because Mike Pence, in throwing Donald Trump under the bus during the debate and not defending Donald Trump and all the wild and crazy insults that Donald Trump has made this summer, he deflected or pivoted. Those are some very pleasant words to describe not answering questions and try to avoid answering questions and lying about answers.
Mm-hmm.
He attacked Hillary Clinton in the process. So he did not defend Donald Trump, but he immediately attacked Hillary Clinton in the process. So this week our award, Baghdad Bob of the Week, goes to vice presidential candidate Mike Pence. And I'm sure Donald Trump is going to have a conversation with him about
no doubt
not defending him. Not once did Mike Pence offer a firm, and if he did, it was very weak, but he never defended Donald Trump with a firm statement in support of things that he said during the year.
Now, conversely, what are your thoughts on Mr. Kane and his representation?
I thought that Tim Kaine could have said more and been more forceful.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind that he interrupted. I think somebody like Trump and Pence, because there's so many inaccuracies, you do have to challenge them more forcefully than most other candidates.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't mind Kane interrupting as much as he did,
mm-hmm.
because I think if he didn't, those lies and untruths and misstatements would have gone unchallenged. And so, yes, Mike Pence was more polished, more presidential, all that kind of stuff. Yes,
mm-hmm.
he was. And I actually, the ticket probably should have Mike Pence as the presidential candidate instead of Donald Trump.
How many times did I hear that today?
Yes, it's very obvious,
mm-hmm.
that, and I'm sure a lot of Republicans are very happy and excited that there's somebody on the ticket that is presidential and that is level-headed, that's a conservative. I mean, here's your Republican candidate right here for president,
mm-hmm.
and I think that in Mike Pence throwing Donald Trump under the bus last night, it really sets, if he continues to do this,
mm-hmm.
it will set Pence up to run for president next time around. And but he must maintain his credibility by not getting in the mud with Donald Trump and being out there defending everything that he says.
Right.
This if Trump loses, Mike Pence can emerge from this as the number one presidential conservative in the next election.
Because he is a conservative.
Yes, it'll be a master stroke. And if he's smart about this, don't get into the weeds.
Right.
Don't get messed up. Don't get messy. Don't let it get messy. What he did last night, yes, I'm sure Donald Trump's not going to like it. A lot of Democrats don't particularly like it, but for Republicans, he's going to emerge stronger than Newt Gingrich, than Paul Ryan, than Marco Rubio.
Mike Pence is he's gonna be the one.
I don't know if any of those people that you just named, who kind of round out the average Republican roundup of candidates or potential candidates. I think that they are played. They're dry. People are not interested in what it is that they have to say or whatever proposals they want to bring forth as it relates to their candidacy. Again, as you indicated, what the Republican Party is actually looking for is a true Republican candidate who sticks to the ideals of conservatism, who sticks to the ideals of, you know, low taxes, who wants to buffet what they consider to be now a very small military, bring that back up to militaristic speed, whereas they will not be pushed around and challenged by Russia and China and many of the other aggressive nations who are out there now, who are producing their own nuclear weapons and positioning themselves in such a way that they dictate and control the narrative. Republicans don't like that. Republicans want to be in a position where the United States is strong and mighty to make sure that the borders are patrolled and supported and protected, and those are the talking points of true conservatism that Donald Trump has not been able to abide by. He has had some sensational things to say, but in terms of them, in terms of those things being substantive, I've not seen that take shape.
Yeah, I think Tim Kaine did not lose by much last night. I would say the only thing that Tim Kaine lost on was just the fact that Mike Pence was more, had more of a presidential look and
mm-hmm.
sound. But I think if Tim Kaine can, he needs a makeover. That's what I believe.
He needs
a makeover.
There's only one vice presidential debate anyway. So what we'll see from here on out is won't be from a debate standpoint. I did like the town hall setup from what I saw. I didn't see much, but I did like the town hall presentation. What were your thoughts?
I like the table, the desk that they were sitting at.
Mm-hmm.
I think it worked. I just wish that Kaine would have been a little bit more aggressive, the same way he was interrupting. Which I don't mind, because I think you had to challenge Mike Pence.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there were some times it could have been more forceful, especially when the subject came to Russia. Yes, he did say that you guys are buddies with him, with Putin, Vladimir Putin. But I think if he should have talked about that a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
He should have said, you know, he should have added some more to that. And I think that's probably that type of conversation probably occurred more in that 90 minutes. There could have been Kaine could have been more aggressive in making some comments, especially when we all know that Donald Trump has a bromance going on with Vladimir Putin, you know, and Kaine could have really drawn onto that and built that up. But you know what? I don't think it's going to be, like you said, it's the only debate, presidential debate, really, you know, all it does is, the only thing it really did was help Mike Pence for four
years from now.
Oh, yeah. That's it. That's all it did.
It was a Mike Pence bonanza from what
yep.
I heard.
Yep.
It was a Mike Pence bonanza. Not so much so that it was aided the cause of the candidacy of Donald Trump. But like you were saying, you know, Mike Pence is going to emerge out of this, regardless of what the outcome is in November. Even if Trump loses, Mike Pence will be a force to be reckoned with going forward over the next 4 years.
Yeah. And it's just unfortunate that people like Paul Ryan
that he was so weak that it can possibly, Mike Pence could probably frog him in one night to be the leader of the Conservative Party than Paul Ryan has done all this year. So
by his own admission, Mitt Romney has said that the party is in dire need of a makeover because people can't really identify what true Republican principles are. And we just talked about those a little while ago. But in terms of the truest sense of what Republican governmental principles really are, I don't think we've been hearing or seeing those things. We've seen a lot of emotionalism that's tied into either of the candidates. I'm with Hillary, Donald Trump is the guy. He's going to, do the thing, and he's going to build those walls, and, he's going to, make people more accountable and things along those lines. But in terms of issues still, where have we heard or seen anything on either side of the equation, Michael, that you can really hang your hat on? I mean, as a citizen, as a homeowner, as a husband and a father, how is this going? How are either one of these presidencies, no matter how it shakes out, how is it going to impact the United States going forward?
You're right, Harold. What's missing are the bread and butter day-to-day issues that families, men and women, and children and families have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. We're dealing with what we heard last night. There's no details. There's never any details. So I just think that if you're looking for a debate to help you to decide who it, that you want for president, you need to look beyond the debates. You need to look at their record of what they've done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what the public record of what they've done outside of Washington, their family life. Look at all those things that don't a lot of you have to interview employees at your businesses? Don't you have to evaluate people that you are that you have around you each day in your family and your who's connecting with your family, your sons and daughters? That same type of scrutiny and questioning, that's what you need when somebody's running for president, not whether they win or score one-liners at a debate.
Right.
I mean, we're way past that. You need to find out what they voted for. This label now, Democrat and Republican, we don't know who's who now.
Right.
I mean, Donald Trump's not a conservative. He's not a Republican. He's never been that, which just lets me know that what Americans are looking at Donald Trump for now has nothing to do with politics. It has nothing to do with Republican, conservative. It's all about what it looks like he believes in based on his attitude and his comments and the things that he's done and said recently. And people, a lot of Americans, unfortunately, are gravitating towards that. But when have we ever in modern times, recent times, when have we held up someone who insults people, who divides people, who is disrespectful to women, who has insulted groups of people, who has racist tendencies and thoughts and statements? We've never.
Well, I'll tell you why that is.
Why?
I'll tell you why that is, because like everything else, politics, which once was bastion of political advancement and advancing mindsets. How do I want to put this? Politics was that. It was about politics. There were party lines, of course, and you drew those party lines, but there were lines that you did not cross. Now that popular culture
is such a significant part of what we do every day. How many of us consult Facebook every day, Twitter, what have you? The snippet type of commentary that we see. That is what we're looking for. And what it has done, it has moved over and crossed over into the political realm. So what is true politics, what is true government now, is no longer first and foremost. It's more about personality and 5-second soundbite. That's where we are with it. And it's an unfortunate set of circumstances, but when you have an information society that is so bent upon, you know, the immediacy of information, and to an extent, that's a great thing. But as it relates to coloring our thoughts and our thought processes for, you know, candidates and things of that sort, and it shies away from the substance of what really people are looking for and the answers that they want to have with respect to their lifestyles. What about health care? What about education? What about all of the things that, you know, are going to make my life more palatable? I understand I won't get everything that I want, but I need to have some things addressed that are of political concern to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know if I've heard any of that. I mean, getting back to the debate process, I think people, for the most part, have their minds made up now.
And I think so,
you know,
too.
It boils down to what people perceive to be the lesser of two evils, and I'm holding up my quote here, my fingers, but it's the lesser two evils types of thought processes now going in as to what they're going to do when they go into the ballot box. But we'll see. I think right now that because of what we have with respect to information flow, popular culture, you know, who looks best or who sounds best or, you know, who had the best quote or all those different types of things.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the takeaways, Michael, that you hear. You don't hear anybody taking away, you know, what's going to happen to health care. Is Obamacare going to be reformed? You know, are my taxes going to go up? Am I going to see better schools in the community where I live? A lot of these things are hinging. Those are the factors that people are looking at going forward. If you're looking at going into a community, you want to know, you know, what the school system is going to be like. Speaking of that, can I pivot just a bit?
Sure.
As you know,
yeah.
Today was Student Count Day.
Mm-hmm.
And
in Detroit.
I think in the state of Michigan.
State
of Michigan.
Okay.
And I don't know if other communities have Student Count Days, but there's a significant push every year, 5 weeks, 6 weeks into the new semester, to make sure that student bodies are in the classrooms. I had some classes today that were like 34 kids in a class. That's a lot of kids.
Mm-hmm.
And there were 34. There were 34 seats in the families in the seats.
Wow.
And what I shared with those young people is, do you know that you guys represent $7,000 to
each student, each butt in the chair,
each hand in the seat represented $7,000. So, you know, if my math is somewhere close to being correct, that's about 34 kids in the class, about $210,000 in that one classroom alone.
Wow.
So supply, computers, internet services, all of these things that the state legislature is going to apportion to these various districts is based upon those student count numbers. And that was so important, and I was, you know, happy to see, you know, full enrollment or full capacity in the classrooms. But we're going to see how things are going to work out as it relates to who's getting the fairest share of the dollar. Who's getting the fairest share of the dollar? Because in Detroit, there's some disparity there. Has been for a long, long period of time. And I don't know about other cities across the state. I would imagine that Flint and that Grand Rapids and Kalamazoo and some other cities have some concerns about that. are those dollars actually going to be truly representative of their student base and what the parents need?
Yeah, you wonder. You
mm-hmm.
wonder.
Yeah.
You're listening to National Detroit Weekly, brought to you by Pascal Tashman and Walker, and attorney Cliff Pascal, who's the lead attorney at the Southfield Law Firm. Call for a free no-obligation consultation at 248-353-7750. At Ocean Financial, if you are looking for operating capital, a line of credit, or cash flow, or if you need referrals to financial companies around Southeast Michigan, credit advisors, banks, investment firms, insurance agencies, realtors, residential lenders, commercial lenders, call Ocean Financial Services. Look, even if you need office space, whether it's a desk, an office, or half of a floor, we got it for you. Call Ocean Financial. Here's the number for Ocean Financial Services, 248-516-8300, 248-516-8300. If you've got to do some repairs in the home, call Columbus Construction. Ask for Reginald, 313-247-7231. Again, 313-247-7231 for flooring, remodeling, tile work, security doors, painting, electrical work, plumbing, kitchen cabinets. 25 years of experience, more than 25 years. Call 313-247-7231. Harold, there's Hurricane Matthew is headed towards Bahamas right now. It's already blown through Jamaica and Haiti. Devastating. It had a glancing blow on Jamaica,
mm-hmm.
but there was considerable rain and flooding. And they didn't escape it, but they got hit pretty hard. But Haiti, once again, got clobbered. And a lot of Haitians still have not recovered from the last hurricane
right.
years ago. Remember when the world's attention was on Haiti and all
yeah.
that? They still have these communities set up with tents and things.
The ruins are still visible from
yeah.
the last hurricane.
Yeah.
And so here we are now we're facing Matthew.
And they got hit again. And they, you know, Haiti never, they have not, just imagine you can go through a whole lifetime as a resident of Haiti
mm-hmm.
and not recover from a hurricane.
Right.
And that's what's happening. And it's just too bad that you know, Haiti is in the middle of a very prosperous North America. And I know that's a whole other topic, so I don't want to get into that right now. but it's just strange that why haven't we been able to do business with Haiti, and that Haiti can emerge from its historic beginnings,
well,
and become a great country with full employment and with businesses, American investment. You know what I'm saying? Why are they stuck in this poverty?
Can I be blunt?
Go right ahead.
It's the black nation. I mean,
you know, I hate. Why is it always have to come back to that? You know, because
where is the relief? If had it been another country that was. Where the people got their due because of their hue, so to speak, we'd have all types of relief efforts going forward.
You know,
right now.
I tend to believe you because look at Cuba. We had an embargo on Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
Cuba survived that. I mean, and right now, they're in a better position because they have so many unique things.
They're experiencing a boom.
Yes, and there are American companies that are willing to just take boatloads of cash over there and just give it away to help build an investment into Cuba.
And Cuba,
you know,
is the global Detroit. I mean, Cuba is the gentrification destination on the globe.
I mean, the buildings are unique and historic now.
Mm-hmm.
The automobiles are classics.
Yes.
They're
being updated daily.
I can't wait to go and vacation in Cuba.
In Cuba. Right.
You know, and try out a cigar.
Well, unfortunately for Haiti, that is not the case. And the Haitian people, who are very good people, hardworking, they carry an ethic about
determined and strong.
Yes.
Look, they determined their own future and revolted. It was the only successful revolt in North America for one country of enslavements in a country.
Against France.
Yes.
Yeah. But people don't talk about that a whole bunch. Maybe there's some.
You know what, Harold?
Some shade being thrown on.
Yeah.
For that very
reason. Maybe one day we're going to need to have the whole, at least a show on self-determination of African
nations, and people.
Yep.
Well,
that the African, what do they call it? Diaspora.
Diaspora,
right?
Diaspora. Yeah.
We're going to need to have maybe a professor. We're going to need to have some historians come on one day and talk about it because, you know, how long are we going to have to wait before we have a truly effective, strong, African-centered nation?
Well, we already know that here in the United States alone, in terms of the black populace, that our internal wealth borders somewhere in excess of about $3 trillion in wealth. You're a banker, Michael.
You mean for African-Americans?
Yes, African-American.
African-American wealth in this country.
In the United States.
Just African-Americans in the United States.
The United States.
Is what, $3 trillion?
Somewhere thereabout. Okay. That, my friend, is a lot of money.
Yes,
that
it is.
That exceeds the
almost probably any other country, isn't it?
For many other countries,
yeah,
it exceeds their national
gross national product. Yep.
On an annual basis.
Wow.
The thing about it is, though, and Dr. Claude Anderson continues to rail on this continuously, we have not been able to find a way that we can create a leverage so that we'll be able to take that financial prosperity. Mention it's not even prosperity at this point. It's just lingering out there as like in the cloud. You know, if you've got some documents you want to save, you put them in the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, the money is in the cloud.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, until we develop an avenue for flexing that muscle and creating some leverage here nationally and joining with other African nations and doing the same thing, then we can start making some strides.
Yes.
I'm tired of being broke.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just going to go out here
mm-hmm.
on National Detroit, and I'm going to put it out there. My wife and I, we have made a pact that we are going to really leverage ourselves in terms of our finances, you know. And Brenda put up a schematic. All right, this is what we have to do. We have to attack this. And one of the things that I find is working, Michael, is once you start writing things down, putting it on paper and attacking. Sometimes you attack the larger bills. Sometimes you attack the smaller ones. But if you can move something out of the way and close the coffin lid on it, that's a good thing. Have you seen the commercial on television when the lady goes into the bank, her and her husband, and she puts her feet up on the desk?
Yes. Because her credit score is so high.
Yeah.
It's like she owns the place. That's true.
And she takes her
phone,
and, you know, the guy says, oh, we can do a lot for you. You have a 700 credit score. And she goes and checks it, and she says, it's an 800 credit score.
Right.
And she puts those feet on the desk.
It's true.
I want to be able to do that one day.
I'm telling you. Yeah.
Soon, too.
As you know, I am a retired banker, been in banking for 32 years, and I can tell you right now, the people who own the bank are – the people that have the highest credit scores and money. But really, it's a very good credit score that does it.
And so I guess the same thing applies from a nation standpoint. the nations that have the capability of providing product, they have the ability to have the internal mechanism of building and providing something on a world structure, they are the ones who create the leverage for themselves, not only within their country, but I will submit to you that Koreans are doing well all over the world. They're doing well in England. They're doing well in France.
Yes, Chinese, the Chinese too. The Chinese, I understand, are really have a foothold in Africa right now.
Yeah, and I told my wife, I said, you go into the Korean hair weave place, you can go in there and spend hundreds of dollars, but they won't let you use the bathroom.
Mm.
What's wrong with that picture?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's wrong with that picture?
Yeah.
If you're going in with the dollars and you're buying the weave and the hair care products and all of those things that they sell, the fake nails and all of that, and you can spend hundreds of dollars per visit, but at the same time you can't use the facility.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with that.
It's
picture.
Just a missing level of respect. You're listening to National Detroit Weekly with blogger Harold Sullivan, and I'm jazz poet Michael Van Sewell. We've just got a few more minutes. Harold, I can't believe how fast this hour has gone. I'm just looking at our clock and our blog talk studio here. We have our online studio set up with Blog Talk Radio, and I'm just looking at the minutes just ticking away. Mm-hmm. I wanted to get back to, and we got sidetracked about the hurricane because there, of course, a national state of emergency has been called for Florida, and Governor Rick Scott is advising Florida residents to make sure they have 3 days worth of food and water
right
now.
Mm-hmm.
They are expecting a direct, I'm telling you, this is serious. They are expecting a direct hit. They're expecting that by the time Hurricane Matthew hits the United States coastline in Florida, it will possibly be a Category 4 hurricane. Other states up along the coast, including Georgia, has been put on alert. South and North Carolina are taking action right now. Some of the models say that it looks like it may curve back out towards the Atlantic.
Right.
So North and South Carolina are kind of holding back now on a lot of their evacuation orders. I know yesterday that they had were looking at moving out 100 miles from the coastline.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a life-threatening storm.
There was an NCAA college game that was going to be scheduled for tomorrow. It's been postponed until November, and it is just that dire a circumstance that, you know, the NCAA thought that it would be in the best interest of all to postpone that game until a later date.
Well, the Bahamas is in line next. I guess that will get hit tonight. Bahamas is expected to be hit tonight. And
Category 4, what's the mile per hour on the winds on
that? We're looking at about 130 to 150 miles per hour for Category 4. As of Wednesday afternoon, this afternoon, they were at 120 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is likely to go back up. The hurricane was about 70 miles south of Bahamas and 400 miles from West Palm Beach, Florida. The president was on tonight advising people to be ready for and brace themselves for a direct hit. I was surprised at how many years it had been since the last hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
So they have had it pretty good lately down in Florida lately. But state offices will be closed tomorrow, and 26 counties have closed state offices. Palm Beach residents have already cleared many grocery store shelves ahead of the storm.
If you want to keep updates, check out the Weather Channel tonight because they're carrying it round the clock right now. I think that's great that they are able to do that. You know, at one time, the Weather Channel, I mean, I guess we didn't have weather channels, but we could never get a round-the-clock update of what's happening. You know, I guess ever since Hurricane Katrina, that's when we started to have these 24/7
weather
channels.
Okay.
Yeah.
People know what's going on weather-wise throughout the world.
Well, I'm just so glad that I'm not in the storm path, and I don't live in the storm path, because if you're a homeowner,
mm-hmm.
it's terrifying. If you are a homeowner and you know a storm is coming, it's like your home, your livelihood, your property, it's all at the mercy of the storm.
And not only that, and you mentioned that the stores are seeing, you know, just an influx of people rushing the stores, you know, to secure items, food items and water and things of that sort. But keep in mind, once those supplies are depleted, trucks are not going to be able to run. So you're not going to be getting new stores of food and things of that sort to come into your communities until after this whole thing blows over. So you're going to, you know, I'm pretty sure there's going to be some gouging that goes on.
I'm sure.
You know, gasoline is already at a premium there because of the fact that nobody can truck the gas in to restore all of the gas stations and the gas wells that are below ground. So these things have an additional layer, and they peel back like onions. And it's a national phenomenon, but also what happens is it has an impact upon the community from a supply and closed down standpoint of agencies and buildings and governments, schools and things like that that are very important to communities in order to sustain themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You're listening to National Detroit Weekly. I'm Mike Bantle, and Harold Sullivan is here with me. We both really appreciate you listening. You know, it's national, international, political commentary and news from the Motor City. And I appreciate all of you who keep up to date and click on and listen to some of our programs on Facebook.
On stream?
Yep, through Blog Talk Radio.
Yes.
Those of you who listen and aware of our commentary and notices, our notices go out on Twitter also and LinkedIn. So we really appreciate the fact that you're listening. And call in sometimes. You know, I forget to say that sometimes. I know a lot of you just like to listen to us have our conversation.
Because we can go.
Yes. Well, you know, Harold, I think maybe on the next program, I think we may have to actually open up the phone lines and let people know that it's okay to call in.
Absolutely.
You know, I think some people think that they're interrupting our conversation. I think that's what it really is.
Well, you know,
and you're not. We want you to call in. We're experts at talking. We're gonna talk as soon as the microphone comes on. We're gonna talk. So that's no problem.
Veteran radio guys that you know have done this. We've done this for years and years and years on terrestrial radio, now on the internet. And one of the things that we like best, and I think I can speak for both of us, Michael, is the interaction that we get
from
those individuals out there who want to share their thoughts.
Yes, I was so glad to hear from the Twitter people.
Mm-hmm.
I was so glad because I was like, okay, great. You know, somebody really taking us seriously.
Yeah.
And listening in, so we really appreciate that. We really do.
And so
don't feel bad about interrupting us. Go right ahead.
Can I go from the sublime to the almost ridiculous here, please, quickly?
Sure.
People are talking about locally. We're in Detroit, and you're probably hearing it. You know, any location. It is National Detroit, of course. But the creepy clown phenomenon.
Have you heard about that, Michael?
Yeah, I've been listening to, I think, about three radio stations this week in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Three different radio stations, radio programs, morning programs have touched on it.
It's a hijack of October. And, you know, the reason why I brought it up here is because there was an incident that took place yesterday in metropolitan Detroit, out in Sterling Heights, where it went from beyond kind of a boo type of a scare to a young man supposedly being not abducted but taken into the arms of a creepy clown, and the creepy clown actually rubbed a knife, which would appear to be a butter knife, against a young child's skin and left a mark. So, you know, we've got to be so careful with all of the craziness that goes on out here every day. And the thing about it is, you know, we have children. I have grandchildren. There was once upon a time where parents were not hesitant to let the kids go out and play and hang out, you know, on the streets and run up and down the streets, ride their bikes and what have you. But now as a parent, you're afraid of that. And I was just sharing with somebody earlier, I know that this has been happening in the suburban communities around the Detroit area, and there have been reports of these same activities taking place throughout the nation. Mm-hmm. But I shared with a friend of mine earlier today on Facebook. I said to them, you know what? I wonder what would happen if one of these creepy clowns showed up over on Detroit's infamous Mac in Bewick. I think we would put the creepy clown phenomenon to bed quite readily. Yep,
if it occurred there.
Yep,
I don't think it would go too well for the clown at all.
And just for those who may not be aware of the logistics of Detroit, Mac and Bewick is code word for being in the depth of the hood.
Yep, that's right.
Being in the depth of the hood. I do want to thank our sponsors too, Michael, who make this program possible. And you know, if you have need of their services, I would ask you, you know, to go ahead and give them a call. Let them know that you're listening to the program or even if you take issue with us on some of our topics and some of our ideas, you know, just set them straight and let them know you're listening.
Yeah, you don't have to agree with us.
Right. Right. I mean, I've got my anniversary comes up on the 29th, mm-hmm. and I've been living with this woman now for like 22 years, and there's so many things we don't agree on. But, you know, we make it work, and we make it happen, so that's a wonderful thing. I know we're about to close, and it's been a great opportunity to be with our listeners once again and to discuss these issues. I believe by our next program, we will have yet another presidential debate.
It's Sunday night. So we'll talk about the second town hall style debate between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. We'll talk about that on the next show. Next, you know, we issue a new program every Wednesday.
Yes.
So we'll be back on Wednesday for our next issue. It was great. I tell you, I think this program tonight went faster than probably the foremost.
Yes,
I think so. And you know, we never cover all of the information that we want to cover. You know that?
Well, I'm telling you. That we have here.
You're right. We never cover. There's much more. You could probably go for a solid 2 hours sometime. Sometime we may. But I usually, an hour, usually I'm just about wore out after an hour.
An hour's good.
Especially working all day too, especially with you and your, you know, 11 other jobs. Yeah. So, but it was fun. It was great to be with you tonight. And, you know, just don't forget to check out any of the programs. Call in next time. And the call in number is 573-833-0565. Thank you. Good night. We'll see you next Wednesday on National Detroit Weekly.